Well, good morning, and thank you for joining us for Sunday School Hour. And if you have your Bibles, if you can, take them and turn with me to the book of James. The book of James, towards the end of the New Testament, end of your Bible. I'm so used to giving out page numbers. Like I said, it's a little different now. You're using your own Bible. Hopefully, you know where James is. James chapter 5. And today I'd like to speak to you about something that has really been pressing on my life and in my heart over the past several weeks. I have been, since summer break and all of this has been going on, I've tried to read several books. And I don't like to sit down and just read one book because then I get bored with it. I'll read I'll start off strong and then I'll put it away. So what I try to do is, someone told me this, they said read a chapter of a book a day. And just put it away, and then you know every day you're reading that just one chapter. And so then they're like, and if you really want to challenge yourself, read like several books and just read one chapter from each book and then put it aside. So that's really what I've been trying to do is, right now I have 7 books out on my desk in my backpack that I carry around, and I'll read one chapter from every single one of those books. And there's one about how to be a good husband, how to be a good dad, how to be a better leader, a discipler, how to just, one is even from like sermon notes from Dr. Lee Robertson, and so all of, how to be a better preacher, all of these things. And so I'm just looking at all these books, and it was funny because I think 3 of those books had a chapter dedicated to this one topic. And right this week. And so I was like, okay, this must be something that I need. And this must be something too that I thought, hey, you know what? I think everybody could use a little bit of this. And so then I looked at every single one of those books, all 7 of them, and they all have a chapter. It may not have been this week, but later on in the book, that is dedicated to this one topic. I thought, wow, this is really important. To be a good husband, I need more of this. To be a good dad, to be a good discipler, to be a better Christian, to be a better preacher, I need more of this one thing. And so as I looked in there, I looked through and it says the power and the priority of prayer. How much more I need to spend in my own prayer life before I can ever mount to exactly what God would have for me. Before I can do all of those things that I have going on in my life, the one thing I need most of all is prayer. And so in James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18, it says this. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Verse 17, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. What an amazing story here that we have. A challenge, nonetheless. Many of us in our own, many of my personal failures has been because of lack of prayer in my own personal life. Many Christians and in Christian work neglect prayer, and as a result, they fail. Very few Christians spend much time in prayer as we ought to. The Apostle James told the people in his day, he says, you know, if you have poverty, if you lack any of these things, he says, you have not through the Holy Spirit leading and preaching, because why ye ask not? So it is today. Many Christians ask why they make such poor headway in their Christian walk, or why they have such little victory over sin in their lives, or why do they accomplish so little in their efforts? God says, "You have not because we ask not." There's a quote here by John Bunyan that I put in there. It says, "You can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed." So often we try to do things in our own effort, in our own conscience, in our own thought process, and we think this is how this will all work out for good. This is how, if I do this and this and this, and I put on this big activity, then we'll get a lot of teenagers there. But you know what? If I don't nurture it and saturate it in prayer beforehand, then it is nothing. It is my works. It is not allowing the Holy Spirit. And so again, John Bunyan's quote, "You can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed." The word prayer occurs at least once in every verse here in James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray." Afflicted, to undergo hardship or to suffer trouble. James 1:17 says, "Every good and perfect gift comes from God." So, pastor always says, so what's the opposite of that? If every good and perfect gift comes from God, so the opposite of that would be that every evil and every bad gift and every not so good gift comes from where? Well, it comes from sin. It comes from a fallen world. It comes from the prince of this world, the devil himself. Every bad thing that happens to us is because of sin, or the prince of sin. But every good thing comes from above. And so when we go through hard times, when we're afflicted, when we're going through troubles, we should pray to God that God will give us the strength that we need, that God will bless us, that God will help us through those things. Pray because the devil is real. Pray because the devil is real. "The affliction of this world is not people, but the powers of darkness. If you have your Bibles, if you can, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Well, I'm almost there. I should have put a tag in there. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." When we're sad, when we're afflicted, we must realize that there is a spiritual power at hand. It is not flesh and blood. Oftentimes, and even in my own marriage, even with my children, I look at it and I'm like, man, why are my children doing this to me? Why is my wife doing this to me in this way? And really, I have to look at it as like, she's not doing it to me. It's not an attack on me. It's probably because I need to fix something in my own personal life, usually, is where it's at. Or why am I having conflicts with this person? It's not that person. It's because we live in a fallen, sickened world. And we need prayer. We need prayer that we can love one another, that we can have the fruit of the spirits, and we need the Lord's help in this world. The devil is real. These principalities, these powers, these rulers of the darkness are real, and especially today. The devil has an agenda. The devil is, and it's so, for Christians, it seems like it's so evident what the agenda is. That, hey, this isn't one nation under God anymore. We're not one nation that is truly praying for the will of God. As Christians, I hope and I think that we are, but our nation is not. We need prayer back in our lives. So when we are sad, keep praying. Second point, when we are glad, keep praying. The next verse there says, "Is any merry? Let him sing psalms." Ephesians 5:19, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Prayer is a wonderful privilege. It is a meeting with the King of Kings. People might ask the question, how much time should I spend in prayer? Well, you know, when a person is summoned or called to come before a king, a ruler, they don't ask the question, well, how much time do I have to spend with them? They don't ask that question. They think, how much time do I get to spend with this king? with this ruler? How much time do I get to hang out with him, to learn from him, to grow from him, to travel with him? How much time do I have to spend with the king? They don't ask, how much time do I have to? How much time can I? So as Christians, we must also think of it like that. To think, how much time do we get to spend and can we spend in prayer with our Heavenly Father? Never forgetting that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the creator of all, the one who loves us more than anything else, the one who cares about us, who would willingly lay down his life to die on the cross for our sins, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That is the love of Jesus Christ. And then it goes on to say, though, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Sick could be feeble, impotent, or weak. And then verse 15 says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Sick is to toil or to tire, to faint or to be weary. You know, whenever I thought about that, I thought, you know, how many people are weary and well-doing in our church? They might not be outwardly sick, physically sick from a doctor, but how many people are tearing, are fainting, are weary, are growing weary in this present world that we're living in, from taking a stand, from trying to teach the next generation, from trying to encourage others to live a victorious Christian life? How many people are weary and well-doing? And how often and how little do we pray for the members of our church? There's a quote that also says, we know not what the power prayer cannot do. We don't know what the power of prayer cannot do. Do you understand that? We don't know what the power of prayer cannot do. Here it says that it has a power to heal people, the power to forgive people of their sins. And later on, we'll look at a couple things as well, and it kind of brings me to my last and final point, but we don't know what the power of praising God and prayer can actually not accomplish. That means that it can accomplish anything. If we are fervent, if we are truly praying to God, there's nothing that prayer cannot do. It says, Charles Spurgeon said, prayer itself is an art which only the Holy Ghost can teach us. He is the giver of all prayer. Pray for prayer. Pray till you can pray. I think that's key. As I was looking through those books, I kept thinking, okay, I need to be better in my prayer life. What's the secret? What's the formula? You know, what, you wake up at this time and you go to bed at this time and you wake up and you pray and then you do this at this and right before you eat, you pray. There's really no formula though. The way that we get better at praying is by actually praying. The way that we get better at doing this kind of exercise, a spiritual exercise, is to actually do it when we can do it. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. You know, one of the books I was reading talked about Daniel and David and brought about that they were a man of prayer and that they accomplished so much for God because of their prayer life. And I thought, you know, something that was kind of interesting is in David's life, we never really, when Goliath took place, and maybe there is, but I never saw it before, so if it's there, someone can point me out later after the service, that was fine. But when David went to fight Goliath, I never see him saying, hold on, I need to go pray real fast. Hold on, let me make sure everything's right between me and the Lord before I go pray. I feel like David was already suited up in armor. He was already praying. He was already, for when the battle came, when the enemy was there, he was already prayed up. And I thought, that's the secret to being already prepared. Having my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of truth. To be already to give an answer. Already for battle. That's the secret. Last point, praying saves time. Verse 16, it says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed.
the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passion as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now here's a man, Elias, and he is just a man, the Bible says, as we are. Tempted, he's just a regular guy, pretty much. But he had a secret to his life. He had something that no one could take away, and that is prayer with God. Time with God. Time spent with God in prayer. And so here's a man, and for the duration of 3 years and 6 months, prayed that it would not rain. Prayed fervently, effectually, that it would not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it never did. And there was a drought in the land. The story even, it talks about how birds brought him food, supplied him his needs, protected him during this time. God did, through birds. Okay, let me say it like that. The birds didn't protect him. God protected him through the usefulness of birds, I guess you would say. But you know, he was subject to like passion as we are. And yet, he knew the power of God and set aside time to pray. True prayer is not the noisy sound that clamorous lips repeat, but the deep silence of a soul that clasps Jehovah's feet. Oftentimes, I think I'm too busy to pray. I think I have so much going on in my life. When will I have time to actually pray? I got to wake up. Usually the kids are awake before we wake up because they like to wake up when the sun comes up for some reason. And I don't know how to fix that. And so it's almost like you just wake up and you hit the ground running. And I think, okay, when do I have time? But you know what? It's what I need to do as a Christian. It's what God has made a priority for us as Christians. It's the breath. It's what we get the most help from when we go to the Lord in prayer. We don't think, okay, when am I going to make time to breathe? Okay, I just made time to breathe. Now I can hold my breath and work some long. No, it's something that we do naturally. And as Christians, when the Bible says pray without ceasing, it is one of those things that should come so naturally, so natural to us, just as breathing is. To think, I need God every moment of the day. That is the greatest mistake that I make throughout my day, is to think that I'm too busy to stop and pray. Martin Luther said, I have so much to do today that I shall never get through it with less than 3 hours of prayer. I was in one of the books that I was reading, and I thought, man, I never think like that. I never have that thought. I have so much to do, I just need to stop and pray for 3 hours. That is not, and that's a failure of mine. But here's a man, Martin Luther, who we still hear about, we still read about, has impacted lives of so many people. And yet, we would say he's just an ordinary man as well. But he realized the power of prayer. Hey, I have so much to do that, you know what, I need to saturate it in 3 hours of prayer before I actually go out and do it. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know what, how much greater that is to really, when you're talking with God, he'll help you prioritize your day. To think, what's the most important things that we need to get through today? What are the things in which we need to accomplish for the work of the Lord? So often I think, okay, I need to do some things too. Like I need to go out and, you know, then I need to fish for a little while, you know, and then I need to do this, and then I need to, you know, relax and have lunch. But to really put this into practice, I think really as Christians helps us to accomplish everything that we need to accomplish for that day. And it's by making time for God in prayer. If we have no time to pray, we must make time for it. For it is God has given us time for secondary duties. He must have given us time for primary ones also. And to draw near to him is a primary duty as Christians. Again, I've not perfected this. This is not something that I am at all boasting about. It is something that has really challenged me in these past several weeks, is to be a better prayer warrior, is to pray more, is to talk more, is to have a better relationship with Jesus Christ. And I think when we're really honest with ourselves, that's something that we can all really see, that, you know what, just a little bit more time in prayer, just a little bit more time talking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords throughout our day to help us be the type of Christians that we need to be in this present world. In a world with no hope, in a world with lost guidance and just completely wrong way of thinking, we need the power of God in our lives. And one of the greatest things that has is through prayer. One of the greatest ways that God can use us is to be wholly separated for Him, to make time for Him, to set aside time to spend with our Lord and Savior. May the Lord help us to make a use of our time and what matters the most. This morning's message isn't very long. And I told Pastor Rick, I said, it's not a very long message because it is one where I have to continually tell myself that I'm just a messenger. Because I look at my own life and I look at my own shortcomings and I look at how much time and how much more time I could spend with God each and every day. And I think this is something that is very convicting for me, but something that I think is one of the greatest helps for me personally, and for us as a church, for us as Christians, is to really make time for the Lord. And so we're going to close out, and it's only 10:25. But before we do, we haven't done this, and I don't know. But before we close out, as I look around, there's people sitting close to each other. So if you're already sitting close to people, stay right where you are. Don't get close. If you're keeping your distance, keep your distance. But just pray one with another this morning. And we'll just do that for 2 minutes. Just pray as a family. If you're already there as a family, pray as a family. And I just to encourage and to pray for one another this morning. I personally know how Sunday mornings can get kind of busy in our lives and just running out the door sometimes. So this morning, if you would, just with the person next to you, and if no one's around you, just pray. You can pray by yourself, just so we can keep our distance and everything like that. But pray this morning for Pastor, as Pastor Peterson's out and traveling, for Pastor Rick, who's preaching this morning, and for our nation, and just really lift up one another in prayer, if you would, this morning. And then I'll finish off and close up in a word of prayer, if that's okay. Let's pray. you can continue to pray. I'm just going to pray as well, and then we'll finish it up that way. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we are so grateful that we can come to you at any moment of our day, Lord, and that you are always willing to listen and to care. And Lord, you desire to for us to cast our cares upon you because you care about the things that we care about. Lord, I pray that you would just help us. Lord, I pray that you would forgive me for not going to you sooner throughout my day as I try to figure things out or work things out, Lord. And I pray that you would just, Lord, convict me of that and help me in those moments to just go straight to you instead of trying to work things out and figure things out on my own. Lord, I pray for our church. I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen us. I pray, Lord, that we would be a church that prays for one another. Lord, I pray that you would just help us. Whatever jobs that we have as a husband, as a wife, as a father, a mother, just a worker, Lord, a mentor, a disciple, and most of all, Lord, a Christian, that you would help us to be all that you have called us and saved us to be. Lord, we need your power. We need your Holy Spirit. We need your help each and every day. Lord, I pray for our pastor as he's away. I pray for Pastor Rick as he preaches to us this morning. I pray that you would just give him the words to speak. I pray, Lord, for Lord, those that are listening on the internet. I pray that you would just, as they're at home, just to help everything to go smooth with the sound and the video this morning. Be with our missionaries, Lord, and in the foreign countries that are trying to have service as well this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would be with our nation. Help us to return and to be one nation under God again. Lord, we love you. We thank you that you're a gracious and merciful God, a loving God. And Lord, I pray that you would just continue to work in us and continue to have patience as we journey this Christian life. And that when we see our faults and where our shortcomings are, that you would just, Lord, continue to show us mercy and grace and to convict us. Lord, help us not to harden our hearts towards this, but Lord, to spend more time talking with you each and every day. Lord, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen.